Praise the Lord. This computer. So, today we want to have some more fellowship again about the consecration. It is important to see a clear vision. Of course, we cannot understand everything, but we have to see the overall picture. It's important. In the consecration of the priesthood, you can't just say, Lord, I give myself to you. This consecration, we have often done this, and it's good. Lord, I consecrate myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. For your personal being as a member of the church, as a believer, you can say that, Lord, do what you need to do with me. Help me. That means I want to give myself to you completely. That's a good attitude to have. But for the priesthood, the consecration is something else. God does not demand from the whole people that they should consecrate themselves as priests. It's not required for the whole people. But because this service, this ministry is a special for the Lord, although actually God wanted it for everyone, but it's simply not possible. And I cannot say why it is like this, but it is. And the Lord has been very gracious to show us the way of the priestly service. Now, let us come to Exodus chapter 28. He's in English. He's going to go to German. The German translation. Now, take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons. Everybody can serve God in many different ways and can do something for God, of course, but the priestly service is something special that God wants. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron. And now we have to return to Hebrews chapter 2. That's why the Lord said, Here am I and the sons which you have given me. And remember, in Hebrews, the Lord is the great high priest there. We still think of the Lord just as our Savior and our Redeemer, and that is good. But that is not what the end or the goal of what he wanted his son to be. The goal is for his son to be this wonderful high priest for us, because he wants to make us priests. If God didn't want the priesthood, then he wouldn't need to have Jesus Christ as the high priest, right? The high priest is necessary for the priesthood. So it's Aaron and his sons. Not Aaron and all the people, but it is Aaron and his sons. So you can read in Hebrews chapter 2. Here am I and the sons which you've given me. So praise the Lord. And it is written, You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. Glory. In another translation, it says, for beauty and for glory. And here in the German translation, it says for honor. Okay, for glory and for decoration or beauty. Praise the Lord. The priesthood before the eyes of the Lord is the most beautiful. The sanctification, the beauty, the holiness is beauty. Doesn't Psalm 110 say the volunteers in the army, they have the beauties of holiness? In English, it says the beauty of holiness. Can you imagine this wonderful army of the Lord is an expression of holiness? The beauty of holiness. For God, holiness is an expression of beauty. That's why I want to behold the beauty of the Lord in His house. I want to behold His beauty, and holiness is truly for the Lord a beauty, a wonderful beauty. For us, if we put on clothes to look nicely, there are so many flowers and colors, right? We put all things to make the dress beautiful, right? But what to the Lord is beauty? It's the fine linen, pure and bright, clean and bright. This is beauty for the Lord. But for man, that's not beauty. Otherwise, you would have to put all different kinds of things on for beauty. But the Lord wants to have the holiness. Holiness is beauty. Praise the Lord. This is important for us to see. Then, to be glorious. That means God must be expressed. In the church, we do not want to express anything else, especially in this priestly service. We don't want to bring and express anything else. The church is actually the expression of godliness, the mystery of godliness, God revealed in the flesh, manifested in the flesh. If someone comes to the church, what should he see? He should see the expression of God among us. They shouldn't see so many different functions. Oh, you have this and that. You have a choir and so on and so forth. This is not what God wants in His house. But if people come into God's house, into the house of the Lord, if we think this is the house of the living God, then they should see God here. Not to hear a good message. Not to hear many, many testimonies. Not music. Not a choir. It's not to hear a choir. If they just come because we have an excellent choir, then this is not the house of God. But God is manifested in the flesh. They want to see God here. Of course, I don't mean that it's absolute. Because we are not perfect. Are you perfect? Who's perfect here? That means it's not absolute. It's not an absolute thing. But as much as possible, We want to express God in this place. It's not perfect. None of us are perfect. But this is our desire. Paul said, what is the church? The base and pillar of the truth and the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh. Of course, Paul doesn't mean that it's absolute and that it's already perfect. Unless we already were perfect, maybe when we're standing with the Lord on Mount Zion, then maybe I can say, praise the Lord. His name is fully written on my forehead, and the name of the Father and the name of the Lord on our forehead. Then the expression will be so clear. God is manifested. But today, praise the Lord, He will be manifested as much as possible. The more we grow, the more we will manifest God. So that means that the main function of the priestly service is to express God, His holiness, and His glory. God is not so complicated. He just wants to have two things, Adam. Right? Holiness and His glory. So, now we see that the garments are important. Moses had to have them done for holiness and for glory. For beauty and glory. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom. You see, we need a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And even if we have the wisdom of God, James says, if anyone needs or is lacking wisdom from above, ask. And God will immediately give it to us. God will not say, no, you're not qualified. No. And precisely because I'm not qualified, I should ask for wisdom, that I would receive wisdom from Him. But if we think that we know everything, then we wouldn't have the need to ask. But still, we also need His counsel. You always have to continually go to Him. So you shall speak to all whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. This means, dear saints, these garments is always signifies our conduct. That's why in Revelation it says, they shall walk with me in white garments. So in our daily living, that's why as priests, we want to experience the Lord in all things that we do, even if the experience is little or small. It doesn't matter. But we have to experience Him. And with this experience, we also need the wisdom from above. Tell the Lord, Lord, give me your wisdom, not my own wisdom. I need wisdom from above. Each one of us needs it. For earthly things? Maybe for earthly things we're so wise and so... So capable. But for heavenly things, we need wisdom, not earthly wisdom. That he may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. Some people may think, oh, it's so easy. We just have to put on Christ. Yes, in the teaching, it's simple. even already in your baptism. From the time of your baptism, that early you should already learn to put on Christ. That's what Galatians chapter 3 says. Could you please read it to us? Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. Already from the very beginning, right? Mijin, you just got baptized. You should realize you have put on Christ. But I never heard that with many baptisms, experiences. We have baptized so many people. That's why Paul said, we have been baptized into him. And then we have put on Christ. That's so wonderful. These garments that are described are Christ. Then we realize, and I'm going to make this fast and simple, the garments for Aaron is very different from the garments for his son. Have you noticed? Only Aaron, as the high priest, was qualified to put on this wonderful garment. And the priests, it's different. They just have white garments, fine linen. I wouldn't say that it's complicated, but it's just not as glorious. Are we so glorious as Christ is? No. Surely not. Who would dare to say that we are just as glorious as Christ? No. No. But we are being transformed. We need to go through a process to be transformed into the same image. But it's a slow process. You need your whole life to do this. That's why right now we have to quickly redeem the time. Transformation takes time. It's a process. Lord, I want to be transformed into your image from glory to glory. That means more and more. It doesn't happen overnight. It's impossible that overnight we're just like Christ, so wonderful and glorious. I've never met such a man. Have you? No, also not. Good. So Adam confirmed it. This is how it is. We will be transformed from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. It's a process that we must go through. So Aaron's garment is so glorious, so wonderful. Then these materials, the foundation of the garments are fine linen. He is the righteous one. In him is no sin. He's perfect. We are not. Then we can see that there's gold thread. It's so fine. And blue threads. They're woven into it. And there's purple color. And also scarlet thread. They're woven into this ephod. Gold. How much gold do we have? I'm still in the process of buying gold. You too. That's great. Then we can all buy gold together. If you have a way where you can buy gold, please tell me. Then I'll also go there and I will buy it. We all come to him. The Lord spoke to the church in Laodicea, come to me and buy gold. Buy gold, heavenly gold. How much gold have you bought, Jonah? A little bit. Maybe daily a little bit. Or do you mean just a little bit, but generally? Daily, buy a little bit more. Because we cannot pay. It's too expensive. You cannot buy a kilo of gold a kilogram of gold every day. It's impossible. But it means more and more, piece by piece. That's why these threads are not as fat as rope. No, they're so fine. You need a lot of work. And you have to be an artisan. You have to have the wisdom from above how to weave in this small thread, this thin thread, and to weave it in. That means we want to gain God's nature more and more, little by little. Paul said we are partakers of his divine nature, but we don't just get everything all at once and are perfect at once. That's impossible. Then there's this blue thread. On this earth, where do you find the blue color on earth? It's up there. Heavenly. The heavenly nature. That's why we've come to the earthly Jerusalem? No. Your website is called the Heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? And I hope that it's truly the case. More and more. More and more. To be heavenly, more and more. The first Adam was of the earth. Adam put his hand over his eyes. You know, we all are called Adam, not just you. Even though my name is John, my last name is Adam. I'm also Adam. But the second man came down from heaven. He's heavenly. This blue color we can only receive from him. And John said he came from the Father's bosom. And everything that he spoke to us is heavenly, not earthly. The Lord said, if I speak of earthly things and you can't even understand them, how then can you comprehend if I'm speaking to you concerning heavenly things? You are earthly, but I come from above. If the church is also earthly and is just doing earthly things, then it is not the Lord's church. Certainly not. But that doesn't mean that we're perfect. No, we're in the process of learning. And then there's the purple color. The purple color. Gretchen, is that purple or not? That color. Violet. It's almost like purple. It's the kingly color, the royal color. Actually, the Lord is the king. as Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, "Behold, your king is coming, but humble, riding on a lowly donkey." But he brought salvation. In his first coming, although he was king, he lowered himself. Praise the Lord for this color. And this is a wonder. It's a miracle. A wonder that he was a king, but he came to serve us as a slave, although he was king. This is a mystery. Only the Lord can do this. And that's why we have to learn when we serve in the church, it's not a position. But if you're serving, then it's a position of a slave. Yeah. The Lord said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve." Do not serve in the church as one who is on the top. No, don't do that. If we do that, then we cannot build his house, and then we're not serving the Lord. Learn to do this. That's why the Lord said in Revelation, already to the church in Ephesus, he hates the works of the Nicolaitans, because they rule over the saints. Beginning with the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope is sitting on the throne there, and everyone has to kiss his hand, huh? I hope that we don't do that here in the church. But we do it in a different way. You don't kiss my hand, but whatever I say, you do. You have to be obedient. If not, I'll show you the door. We even have two doors here. If you don't agree with me, you can leave. This is the work of the Nicolaitans, and the Lord extra said this specifically. I hate this. Two things the Lord said. First, he hates the work of the Nicolaitans. And secondly, he hates the works of Balaam. You all know the story of Balaam, the prophet who wanted to prophesy. He was paid by Balak for money. He was paid. What do the Germans say? Whose bread you eat? You have to dance according to their song. If you're paid, you have no choice. Then you have to do whatever they say. This is not what we're doing in the church. And this is also what the Lord does. He does not do this. He paid through Jesus Christ when he served. We do not have to worry. We're not serving for gain. Absolutely not. Also not for a position in the church. But it's very difficult for man. Do you want to work for a company for free? No, no one does that. But unfortunately, they even do that in the religion today. So, praise the Lord. The Lord is the King. And yet, he came to serve as a slave. Then, he came for salvation. This scarlet color, red thread. He came to save us. I just mentioned Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, your king is coming. Humble. Bringing salvation and redemption. He who wants to be saved should come to him. And then there's this fine white linen. Already all these colors. In these colors we can see Christ. That's why there are four living creatures. The Lord has the face of the lion. Praise the Lord. He's a king on the right side. And on the left side, he's an ox who's serving. He's so balanced. And us? Lord Jesus. And then, at the front is the face of a man. The image of a man. And in the back, you have the face of an eagle. The heavenly, because he is God. He is God. But he's coming as a man. Can you imagine that? If he would have appeared as God, then we would have all been blinded and died. The Bible says nobody can see God and live. It's impossible. That's why the Lord became a man and expressed God as a man. Isn't that wonderful? And on one hand, he's the king, the lion. And on the other hand, he's an ox, a serving animal who serves. Isn't that so wonderful? That's why we have the Gospel of Matthew, Mark. He's a slave. And Luke, he's a real man, the true man. And John says he is God. That's why we have the four Gospels. We have to get to know Christ in all these aspects. He's so wonderful. That's why Aaron has different clothing, garments, than his sons. And then in the ephod, I just want to mention it briefly, that there are two onyx stones. They're on the shoulder. The shoulders are meant to bear things, to carry things. And on these two stones are the names of all the tribes, of the 12 tribes. They're engraved. Their names are engraved on the stones. If it's just written, you can still erase it. But if it's engraved, it's going to stay there, remain there. Praise the Lord. That means as the high priest, the Lord is carrying us, is bearing us. And these names are written according to their birth. Not according to God's preference. Oh, I love Judah and I love Joseph. So Judah will come first. And then Joseph. And then Benjamin. And then Reuben. He'll be at the end. We have so much preference in the church. Partiality. We should carry all the saints equally. He who really wants to serve must learn through Jesus Christ to bear all the saints. If we are not able to bear the saints and are partial and you have preferences, to bear means it doesn't matter who you are or how you are, whether you're strong or weak. Not all the saints are equal. But as priests, as serving ones, just as Christ, he bore everyone on his shoulders. Praise the Lord. We have to see this. What a high priest. What a high priest. We bear the saints. We have to learn this. The onyx stones. The saints are precious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no partiality with the Lord. We are all equal. We are all equal. Then on the breast, there's a breastplate. Then every tribe now is a special precious stone. On the shoulders, we're all the same. But for the building up of the church, you cannot expect that all the saints look the same. That's why there's the beauty of all the different precious stones in the breastplate. It reminds us of the holy city of Jerusalem, the building up of the church, and every member is different. Don't try to make everyone the same in the church. Or do you expect that your wife is exactly as you are? Is that possible? Try it. Maybe you'll make it. I tried it already a few times and it didn't work. And then in the church, we want to make all the saints the same? Why would we want to do that? Nobody is the same. No one. Right? That's why Paul said, we receive all as Christ received them. How did Christ receive you? Just as you are. And then with time, we'll be transformed. We're not like the Lord, but we have to learn from him. We have to learn from him. It's so important. It's so wonderful and so important. That's why we see that the Lord is carrying the new Jerusalem in his breast. That's his goal. The breastplate. The breastplate is different from the two stones. Right? The Lord is building the new Jerusalem. It's wonderful. It's on his breast, on this part of his body. We must have a goal. We want to build the new Jerusalem. And remember, these different precious stones, it means that we must be transformed. But not all stones, even when they're transformed, they're not all the same. It's not nice if all the saints were all the stones were of the same color. Or I came from a family. We had the same parents, and we're 13 children in the family. We could have a soccer team. Although we all stem from one pair of parents, we're very different. Each one is different. Yeah. And my parents, they never demanded that we should all be the same. It's impossible. And it's also not nice if everybody's the same. That's why we also have to learn in the church, don't force someone, don't demand someone and say, you have to do it that way. Since everybody has to do that, then you have to do that. And we have to appear in every meeting. Why do you have to say that? As if we had nothing more to do except to go to the meeting. No. Have a wide heart. Paul said, you are narrow. Your heart is narrow. But my heart is not narrow. My heart is open wide, said Paul. Enlarged. If we live Christ, then your heart will be enlarged. The Lord does not force anyone. He who thirsts, let him come. He didn't say, you have to come and drink. No. He who thirsts, he who wants to come. If someone doesn't want to come, that's okay. Maybe you don't want to come today, but maybe tomorrow you'll come. You should never force anyone. No. We don't do that in Jerusalem, in Zion. Praise the Lord. We don't do this. So we have to learn from the Lord. And then we have the headpiece. Actually, it's called the crown. The crown is also beautiful. And not with many, many stones, but it is also made out of white fine linen. But there is a golden... A golden plate. And on that plate is engraved, Holiness to the Lord. Why is it on the forehead? That's a big problem right here in our daily life. There are all kinds of thoughts that come in. Also, our thoughts must be renewed. This transformation, according to Romans chapter 12, happens by the renewing of our mind. Yes. How often do you think and pray, Lord, renew my mind? And if we want to put off the old man and put on the new man in Ephesians chapter 4, between verses 22 and verse 24, there is verse 23, which says, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, and then you put on the new man. If our mind is not renewed and is constantly thinking about so many thoughts, then you cannot put on the new man, and you cannot also not put off the old man. If you put it off, then you'll put him back on again. That's why the renewing of the mind, it says, holiness to the Lord. To the church in Philadelphia, he said, I will write upon him the name of my God and my new name. Oh, the Lord has a new name. The more you've experienced him, he's new. Then you discovered something new about the Lord. That's why the Lord always has a new name for me and for you, for all of us. And then the name of the heavenly Jerusalem is also written there. The name of the city of my God. That's why we have a lot of space here on the forehead. Especially Toby. There's a lot of room there. Then you have to ask. What can you read there? The Lord did not say that it would be written on your clothes. Of course, that's easy. Jesus is coming soon, but you have to read it here on the forehead, not on the clothing. And we have to see the Lord. He is our high priest. and the inside. You have a garment that's completely blue, heavenly, because the Lord is the man from above, from the heaven. He's the second man, the last Adam. The last Adam. For the first man is from below, from the earth. But the second man, the Lord, is the man from above. Praise the Lord, he truly is completely heavenly. He said, you are from below, but I am from above. Praise the Lord. We're all from the earth. But the Lord is the second man from above. From above. Heavenly blue color. And this is underneath, in the inside. Then above you have the white garment. And then on the blue robe, there is a row of pomegranates made out of gold and bells. Golden bells. It goes all the way around on the hem of the robe. That means wherever the high priest walks, first God will hear it and God will know. God wants to know where you're going and what you're doing. You cannot hide anything from God. You cannot say, oh, he doesn't know. And then you'll walk slowly and you hope that no one sees you. It doesn't work like that. Then it'll go ding-a-ling. Don't do anything in secret. No. One should not do that. You think that God doesn't hear or see. No, he sees everything. What the Lord did on this earth, God saw everything that he did, and he could testify, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. No other man did God say that, but with the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord never did anything that was not according to God's will. But we do so many things. And then we think nobody sees it. Oh, nobody sees. No one hears it. No one sees it. No, we cannot have this attitude. God sees everything and he hears everything. And he recorded everything. God recorded everything. One time, at a certain place, someone said, don't record anything, but yet it was still recorded. Praise the Lord. So learn, as priests, we're serving, not so that man can see it, but that God can see it. Don't think that in the don't think that we're doing it first for man to see what they can see what we're doing. But no, you should do it for God because he sees everything. God sees everything. Don't do anything in secret. Only thieves do that. Before, only the criminals used to wear masks. Today, everybody's wearing masks. That's not good. So, praise the Lord. We do everything in the open. We do not hide anything. We have a good conscience without fear that someone will see it, but in righteousness and in holiness. Where is it written? Luke chapter 1, verse 72 to 74. When did we go over that? In Stuttgart, in the hall. We did it in a gym, a conference in a gym. Do you remember? We were in a gym. Praise the Lord. This is how we have to learn from our wonderful high priest. That's why when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he did everything out in the open. He was not afraid of man. Man could see everything, and no one could find a fault in him. And he didn't need to hide himself. He had nothing to hide. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? This is what we have to do. We have to learn from this high priest. This is what the garments shows us. So if we serve God, we have to put on the holy garments. Praise the Lord. We serve before the Lord in his presence. We have nothing to hide. Isn't that wonderful? We do everything in the open. Praise the Lord. If we do righteous things, then we have nothing to hide. But if we do something evil, then we don't want other people to hear about it. Please. Please turn off all your recordings. Then why? Are you afraid that other people will hear of it? No. We do everything in the open. Because everything must be done in righteousness and in holiness. We have to serve in such a way, and God will see it. Then we'll have a good conscience. We serve with a good conscience and are not afraid. We have no fear. Isn't that wonderful? Then you'll be able to sleep well. Or are you not able to sleep at night? No, then we'll all be able to sleep well with a good conscience. This is the prerequisite for chapter 29, for the consecration. Praise the Lord. This chapter is actually very wonderful. We must learn from the Lord. The Lord also said, learn from me. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, this is not how we learned Christ. We have not learned Christ so as we walked. We don't just have to get the knowledge about the Bible, but we have to see Christ. We have to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're following a living person. If I say I'm following the scripture, that is fine. But everyone understands whatever he wants. Then what are we following? That's why we must have a living relationship with the Lord. That's why we have this wonderful teacher, the anointing that dwells in us. This is very important. So praise the Lord. Learn this. I think this is good enough to speak about that. Then the sons of Aaron, they should learn. They should learn from everything that his father did. I think you can learn so much. The sons don't have to have that kind of a garment. They're not qualified. But they do have to learn from Aaron. I'm sure they learned a lot. If I were a son of Aaron, I would have asked, what does this mean? Why are you carrying that? Why are you wearing that? And what's in the pocket there? And the breastplate. Why is there a pocket there? And what do you have in the pocket? Doesn't your daughter want to know what everything is? Doesn't she go to look what's in your pocket? Urim and Thummim. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. So, this is how it is. We all have to learn from Jesus. And if we do that, then, praise the Lord, our service will be more acceptable to the Father. The Father will be well pleased. It will be well pleasing to him. Praise the Lord. We're all learning, okay? Don't give up. Even if there are problems, it doesn't matter. We're learning. We'll learn when we have problems. And he who doesn't learn anything, that's the biggest problem. And he who learns will make mistakes. That doesn't matter. Making a mistake is not a sin. That's why we have to receive all the saints as Christ received us. The priests all have much to learn. Especially since our time is limited. One service that's important is before the golden incense altar. To offer up incense to the Father. The psalmist said, let my prayer be as incense ascending to you. This is not just the general prayer of the people, but this is the prayer of the priests. He who serves also must pray. If you do not pray, that doesn't work. Look at Paul. At the beginning of his epistles, he always said he prayed for the saints unceasingly, without ceasing. He didn't just pray once a week, but unceasingly. Why? Because in many things, we are not capable of doing it. But God is. But God needs our prayer. That's why he also said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray every so often. No? He said, pray unceasingly. Do you also do that? Not yet. Okay. From now on, let us learn to pray unceasingly. Even at work, if you love the saints, then you will carry them in your hearts. That doesn't mean that you have to pray for them in a long way, but you mention their name before the Lord, and he already knows. Lord, how is it with Zoltan? Thank you for Brother Zoltan, and that's good enough. That's good enough for God. Yeah. Lord, Adam. He said, he's speaking that all the time with the Lord. Yeah, you don't need to have a long prayer. For us, if it's not so long, we think it's not a prayer. That's why we pray so long. And in the end, we'll all fall asleep. You just need to mention the name. out of your heart, you mention that person's name, and God will already know everything, but God needs you. It's a strange matter, strange thing. He needs you to remind him. This is also what is written. You are the reminders of God. Those who bring remembrance to the Lord. It's not that the Lord forgot. No, the Lord never forgets. But he needs your cooperation. He needs our cooperation. Lord, the saints here and there and on the whole earth, right? If we pray, we remember, we remind the Lord of all the churches in the earth. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to tell him all the details. That wouldn't work. But we just need to mention them from our hearts. Then God will know. So praise the Lord. This service is important for the priests because only the priests are allowed to serve there in the sanctuary. The other ones are outside. But the priests go inside and they have to daily offer up incense as a well-pleasing aroma for God. We all, as priests, have to do this service all the time, not just during the prayer, the hour of prayer. Every hour is a prayer hour. Okay, when you say prayer hour, then it should be every hour. At all times, unceasingly. Isn't that wonderful? Then the Lord will add the incense, and that is a well-pleasing aroma. And don't just pray, Lord, look at Adam, he's so impossible. That's not a well-pleasing aroma to God. God will say, that's not what I want to smell. No. But out of love for the saints, Lord, bless the saints. Do good for Zion, for the companions of Jerusalem, for our companions' sake, we pray for Jerusalem. We're not singing lamentations to God, but praise the Lord. A well-pleasing aroma, scent. This is what we should do as priests. May the Lord be gracious to us, be merciful. Learn this. And the rest, you can read in the outline by yourself. But these things of which we have fellowship, you shall keep it in your heart. For Christ is not only our Savior, he is our High Priest, and there's a lot that we need to learn from him. And he must perfect us. Praise the Lord. What time is it? Now we can all...